I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Sean.
And you're in a band, I do believe.
Yes.
And what would that band be called?
We were promised Jetpacks.
I prefer revisionist history. I prefer things that people don't ask you about your background. So I'll give you the one that we already know, which is that you won a battle of the bands in school.
Our drummer was in the womb for 10 months. Which really, once you get to know him, it really explains quite a lot.
What do you think of all of the fact that a lot of people who came here tonight probably, you know, they got to this, although this is pretty new, but they got to this through a very different medium, right?
I'm completely fine with it. It's a bit strange. It seems like it doesn't happen as much back home. People don't find out about bands from TV shows. It's maybe just because there's a lot more TV shows in America, but we're quite happy if someone offers a bunch of money to play our song for 30 seconds in one of their TV shows. I don't see we're going to get more fans.
Sometimes, like we've not had that problem yet, but the advertising is slightly different in that, like, you know, when you play a song at a show, do you want people thinking, I need to buy a car, why is that? But for TV and movies and stuff, I can't think of a single downside.
I guess you're not afraid of promoting promiscuous behavior.
We like letting people do their thing with the videos. We didn't really have much to do with either of them. But
so tell me how those, because those are two very interesting videos, but they do add up to a band that likes to have a lot of fun and be surrounded by people. I mean, if people watch those videos and they don't know the two of you, they might have a different perception.
Yeah, we like for the medicine one in particular, we'd seen other videos by that company and by that person, and we said we want them to do it, and then they pitched us, and then for the human error it was a couple of different pitches, and then we said no, and then there was another pitch and we said yeah, but we much prefer the letting filmmakers make a film as opposed to the four of us who play music trying to come up with a film. It doesn't make any sense, so we like to let filmmakers do their thing.
So in 2009 there was a quote about you which I thought was kind of I didn't even know what it meant. And like I said, we avoid genres. But somebody called you Scottish emo.
I have no idea. No, we've had that a bit. It's not my favourite. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh no, that's horrible. But I don't know, they've chucked on like the Twilight Sad and stuff. And then if folk hear the word emo and then compare like us or the Twilight Sad to other well-known emo bands.
No, we just wanted it to be kind of like similar to our live show, and that I just wanted it to be exhausting. I wanted it to be draining. Once you finish listening to it, it'd be like, oh, like instead of just so, like, I wanted to be a little bit less throwaway than the one before.
I read that the reason you went to Iceland is that you kind of looked for a studio in Scotland, and the one in Iceland was truly the best deal. Is that actually true?
Yeah, we really struggled to find a place in Scotland, and then we kind of found a place, and then they screwed us over, and I'd mentioned the name of the studio if I could remember it, but I can't. So and they completely dicked us about, and then we just found this place in Iceland because of Fat Cat, who obviously have that Sigur Rós connection, and it just looked amazing. It just looked like the perfect room. We took our guy Andrew Bush, who's our live sound engineer, and he's like one of the very, very, very few people we let in. Like if he tells us something, we listen. I mean, the four of us are producers. We know what we want. We just don't quite know how to get it. And so we finally found a guy in
Andy who can spin the knobs to get you what you want.
Yeah. Who also understands what we want without us having to explain it in really like condescending terms. And he's
more than happy to tell us if things are working and things. If something's rubbish, he'll go, no, that's not good, and we'll completely trust him 100%. First record was like, they were like, right, so we'll do this, we'll record it live and it'll be a great live sound, and we're like, well, we don't want it to be like messy.
Oh, you wanted to clean it up after all of that.
Yeah, so the second one was like, I'd gone too far the other way. I was like, I want this to be like, sound like a bloody, I don't know, like a bloody U2 record.
Yeah,
like
I wanted to sound like Bon Jovi.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily enough, we had Andy there who kept it pretty live, and it didn't go too far the other way at all.
You did not sequence this in any way, shape, or form for anybody to go, ooh, the focus track is...
Yeah.
So was that purposeful that you didn't sequence it? When you turn around and you say, okay, we've got these songs, we're going to put them together, what'd you do or not do?
Yeah, well, It's difficult. We didn't really talk about it much. We just all kind of sat around and did
it. That one.
Yeah, yeah, then that one. And then we talk about it, and then we switch them around.
Yeah, I think we kind of had one that was pretty standard, like what you were saying. And we had one that was as far away from that as you can get. And I think we tried to take a kind of happy medium between the two. And it's good that you're saying that.
Yeah, I remember we were talking a lot about the word momentum. Like, about keeping the momentum up with a track listing, and then having it, instead of it being like suddenly now there's a slow one, it would kind of ramp down and then ramp up again instead of so just try and get a good flow.
But how are people gonna have parties and put the record on and have the reliability of knowing? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. If you want,
you're spoiling people's parties. Yeah. This is not gonna, this is, you know, in the pit of the stomach. Which is weird, really, that'd be a funny line. In the pit of the stomach is the party record of the year. So when you kind of sit around and say, okay, what are we going to do next? Have you got like the vision thing? Have you thought about it at all or not really? Because you're smart guys, obviously. So
no, we don't talk about anything that's coming next, ever.
You try and avoid the harsh future.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.